hatred that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Hallelujah.
Taking my cross, raising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb,
I could beg your indulgence. I want us to stand and have a very special prayer for Ray Seals. I visited him in the hospital last night. I mentioned him this morning, but I told him we'd put him on a prayer list, and we had prayer there. But I just feel really, really led to just stand and have a special prayer for him. He is a Vietnam veteran, diagnosed with Agent Orange, as so many of our fallen veterans have been. And he's just a good, good, good man. And his family was gathered there, and I just want to pray. And then immediately after we pray, I'd like to request Sister Jennifer, she sang A Miracle in the Making, because that's the last thing that I told his wife when I left the hospital room, and she said, that's what we need is a miracle. So his name again is Ray Seals. Can we join together in prayer tonight? Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come on behalf of Ray tonight. God, I know, Lord, that you're aware of his need, his situation. And Father, we bring him before you tonight. God, I pray that you would honor his faith. I pray, God, that you would honor the faith of his family. God, reach there and restore him, touch him, anoint him. Father, I pray for the doctors. God, I pray for the procedures, Lord, that they're using. Pray, God, that they will be effective, God, fighting this cancer. God, we know that you are the creator of the body. Who better to heal it, God, than you? I pray right now, in one mind and one accord, God, agreeing, Lord, for the touching and the anointing of Ray Seals right now. Reach there in the hospital room, God, and raise him up. Strengthen him, touch him, and anoint him, God. Lord, and I pray, God, you'd have mercy upon his soul as well. God, not only heal his body, God, but restore his soul tonight. And we'll look to you to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Just worship the Lord as she sings. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you.
The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him. 'Cause this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Oh, and right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. And have you prayed and prayed, and still you've heard no answer? And has your faith grown weak? You feel you're all alone. Don't give up, for the God you serve won't leave you. Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. And have you prayed and prayed, and still you've heard no answer? And has your faith grown weak? There's a in the making for you today.
I believe that with my whole heart, amen. God is still in the miracle performing business. My, my, my. Thank you, Sister Jennifer, for that wonderful and beautiful song. Continued prayers, amen, on behalf of those who are suffering. Brother Chris Arnold's going to be preaching for us tonight.
Hallelujah.
I just felt definitely led this morning to ask him to come and minister for us. So, Lord, bless Brother Chris as he comes. Take your liberty in the Lord.
Amen. Thank God for the red letters.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. Man, I tell you what, whenever they sing that part and it talks about Jesus changed my destiny, if you really let that get to you, the first part of that song said hell was my destiny.
Come on.
But Jesus changed my destiny.
Changed.
It's powerful right there. I never forget the first time I heard that. I actually heard the band that sings that. It's called Crowder. And I heard them at the Georgia State Fair. And when I heard it, I'll never forget, it was just electrifying. I thought, my goodness. And I'm talking about people as far as you could see with their hands raised up at the fair. You know, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah,
now that's having a good time right there. Amen. You know, it's funny. God lays messages on your heart, and you toil with them and toil with them, Brother Eddie, and you say, I don't know, God. I don't know if it's the right one. And even when I walked in the back door right there and I heard what song they were singing, I said, yeah, God's got it figured out. It's up to me to turn my brain off and let God do it. Amen. That's what I'm supposed to do. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I'm going to start in verse number 40 and read to the end of the chapter. Familiar passage of Scripture. We've all heard this passage of Scripture. We've all had many stories taken out of 1 Kings 18 and 19. Surely there's a lot of events that happened right here, a lot of deep events that happened right here. But the Lord has for us tonight, starting in verse number 40, "And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.
Amen.
So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times, in verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Ooh, glory to God. There ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Oh, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. In verse 45, And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Yeah. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your spirit, for your liberty, Father God. Lord, I thank you for your word, Father God. I thank you for your power, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for in advance for what you're going to do tonight in this house, Father God. Lord, I ask you to take these lips, take these lungs, take this vessel of clay, Father God. Lord, anoint me for your glory, Father God. Speak your words of life. Father God, Lord, let it reach out and transform somebody, Father God. Make us different than when we walked in here, Father God. Make us change. Let us have an audience with the King tonight, Father God. And I thank you for what you do. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If I had a message for tonight, the title, I guess, would be Prepare Your Chariot. Prepare Your Chariot. I don't know. This thing don't set. There it is. It's on now. You know, living in Florida, we see it rain a lot. Y'all think you have weird weather here? Come live in Florida for a little bit.
It would be, I could remember as a kid, it would be raining in our front yard, and it would be sunshine in our backyard. We could be playing in the backyard, and Mama would look out the front window and say, y'all kids better get inside, it's raining. We'd be like, what are you talking about, Mama? It ain't raining where we're at. It's dry and it's hot where we're at. But man, I can also remember that we could set our watch to when it was going to rain. We lived on the east coast of Florida, which meant about 3 o'clock to 3:30 we was getting a shower. At 4 o'clock it was humid. But you could watch the rain clouds start to build. And I'd watch them about 1 o'clock and they would build. And they would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would think, oh man, the rain's coming. The rain's coming. And you can see all that and they just get bigger and bigger. And the heating is what brings that up. And the heating and all the, you know, I watch the Weather Channel a lot, so I can say cumulonimbus. That means a big storm cloud, right? So like, yep, that's a cumulonimbus. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? I watch the Weather Channel. That's right. I'm smart. I watch the Weather Channel. They got these big clouds, right? And they're going to come this way. And they're going to bring rain. In our Christian walk, we go through dry times. We go through times to where when we walk, it's just like walking through the sand and it puffs up. And you ever been in a drought? You ever been part of a drought where everything is just dry? Everything around you is dry. And you're like, man, when are we going to get some rain? We need some rain. And not just a good flooding rain. We need a good soaking rain. Anybody ever experienced a good soaking rain? Now, I remember we used to load trucks in Florida. We loaded them outside. And man, when it come a good soaking rain, when the hurricanes come through, we was out there loading parts on trucks because we were just crazy like that, you know? So we would get out there, and I'm talking about from the head to your foot was soaking. You could literally, I remember one time I went back inside, I took my shoes off and I took my socks off and I could wring the water out of my socks. You see, what happens a lot of times is, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, a lot of times you ever see people walk into Walmart and they got little bags over their heads and they're running, oh, I'm going to get wet. Oh my goodness, I'm going to get wet. But then you got me, I'm walking, I'm like, hey, you know what? Rain's going to fall on me anyway. It don't really matter. You know, that umbrella probably ain't going to cover all of me no way, so I'm just going to keep on getting wet. In the church house and in Christianity have the same thing. You've got people when it rains down. I'm talking about Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Punch your neighbor and say, hey, wake up, somebody. When that Holy Ghost rain starts to come down, people, oh, I don't want to get wet. I don't want to get wet. I just put my makeup on. Oh, my goodness. I just fixed my hair. And it's all perfect. There, now I fixed my hair. I fixed my hair and it's all perfect. We guys do the same thing. Amen or oh me. I don't want to get wet. I want to get close enough that I can smell the rain, but I don't want to get up in that rain because something might happen to me. It might wash me of something I got going on. Because see, sometimes we need to get in that rain and we need to say, God, open the floodgates of heaven. Just open up heaven, God. Open up heaven on me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. And I don't care what everybody else thinks about me. Just open up the floodgates of heaven, God. Let it pour down upon me because I need more and more and more of you, God. Just a little bit ain't going to get me there. Just a little bit ain't going to get me there. You ever get real thirsty? Man, this week, I tell you what, I had to work Sunday night. That's why I wasn't here. And man, by about 8:30, I was thirsty. It was so humid, and I was thirsty. I went and got, my wife makes me a big old water jug. I went and got that water jug and just go, 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 go. That's not like me. I'm not a water drinker, you know. I just sip it. But man, I go, go, go. By about 2 a.m., I was out of water. Man, I couldn't wait to get to somewhere where I could get me some water. The church house, we get our water. Hallelujah. It ain't a social club gathering, y'all. It's somewhere where I can dip in the water. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can get a little bit more. And I can get refreshed a little bit more. Amen. Hallelujah. And Elijah said unto Ahab, and I want to go back a little bit and give a little bit of background about this. The first part of chapter number 17 of First Kings, Elijah was fed by ravens. Isn't that amazing that Elijah was fed by ravens? Let me let y'all in on something about ravens. Ravens ain't exactly a bird that everybody says, ooh, look at that, that's a pretty bird. We just like, man, there goes a raven. Let me tell you something about the birds y'all have in this part of the country, all right? Because, like I said, I'm from Florida. Our ravens are like that. Y'all got baby turkeys. Them things is huge. I tell the boys all the time, I said, that's not a raven. That is a baby turkey. It's got to be, man, because them things is huge. You know, I'm like, man, about four or five of them probably run me off. You know, I'm like, my goodness. What do y'all feed them things, you know? But the ravens, we don't look at them and think, oh, that's just a beautiful bird, like a peacock we would, or a parakeet or something like that. A raven is just one of them birds that there it is. But God said, wait a minute. I want to cause the ravens to come feed you. There's a famine in the land, y'all. There's a spiritual famine in the land, y'all. And God's causing the ravens to come feed us, whether we see it or not. God's saying, you know what? I'm going to keep on feeding my people because they're my people. You wonder why we walk in blessings and we walk in favor, because God's given us blessings and favor. And He's applied it unto our life because we're doing what He wants us to do. Amen? There is a curse, but there is a blessing. Hallelujah. And we're walking in the blessing because God says, that's my people. And I'm going to take care of them. Let me tell you something. God's always had a people. God always will have a people. And He always will have a people. Amen. And we are part of that triumphant people. I said triumphant people. Hallelujah. God let it rain on us. And He fed Elijah with the ravens. The ravens came not just once a day. The Bible says it came in morning and at night. And I got to thinking about that. You know me, I always analyze everything. And I got to thinking about food. Imagine that. Y'all who know me is like, yep, he's thinking about food. And I got to thinking, the Lord said, you know, you sit down, you eat breakfast. We're talking about commitment. How many people are fully committed to the Lord? How many people say, God, I'm committed, but they're only a little bit? I want you to think about it. Next time you sit down to breakfast, you're going to think about this analogy. All right, so you got the eggs. And you got the bacon. The chicken was committed to having your breakfast. The pig was totally committed. You think about it like that. I know that's kind of funny, but you think about it like that. Totally committed. The chicken, what the chicken did to have your breakfast, anybody could have done. A rooster couldn't have done it. Now, don't get me wrong. But a chicken did it and sacrificed. Where's the total commitment at? Where's the total sacrifice at? Where's the people that'll pray? Where's the people that'll grab the horns of the altar more than just 5 minutes and say, God, I'm believing for something. See, we name this message tonight, preparing your chariot. But what we have to do is, we have to grab the horns of the altar. That's where it starts. God's laid something on your heart and you say, Lord, I don't know why you haven't answered it. Go back to the altar. Keep going back to the altar. Keep going back and back and back and back and back and wear out that altar. Wear out that altar. And God said, you know what? I think this person really means business. I think they really want it to rain on their life. Because you see, when it rains down, it changes things. You can go out to your garden and I can go out and my wife's got a bunch of little things planted around the house. And man, I like watering them things. But I overwater them. Every time I water them, I'm like, that thing needs a little more water. Give it a little more water. I do the dog the same way. It needs a little more food. A little more, you know, because just a little bit's not going to do you, because we got to go in abundance, you know. So we got to, it's either go big or go home. So, I'm soaking them things. Well, 2 days later, she comes out, and you killed my plants. I watered them. I watered them. But I watched them plants. And if I don't water them for a week, and it comes a good rain, man, I'm telling you what, the grass, the plants, everything. Man, I'll be grabbing plants from the porch right there, putting them out. Get out there and get some of that. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to see that spiritually. Get out there and get some of that. I want to get tapped into some of that. Hallelujah. I want to drink of that good stuff. Because that stuff that's coming out of the faucet's got chlorine in it. That ain't good for you. But that rainwater is coming straight from heaven. Hallelujah. We try to fill the gaps with things we think is going to make us happy. And it's an unnatural rain that comes into our life. And we say, you know what? We're happy for a season. We're happy for a little time. But I guarantee you, if you get out and you'll get totally saturated, I'm talking about totally saturated in that Holy Ghost rain, it'll start changing the way you think. Changing your mindset. Instead of going, woe is me, you'll start saying, praise God over everything. Praise God. Praise God. My car broke down. Praise God. He's going to make a way. My finances are in a bad way. Praise God. He's going to make a way. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. But He's going to do it because He ain't never failed me yet. Hallelujah. And He's not about to start now. If He made ravens to feed Elijah, what's He going to do for you? What can He do for you? My Bible says He takes care of the sparrow. A little bitty sparrow. If He takes care of that little bitty sparrow, surely He can take care of me. Amen? And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound. There is a sound. there is a sound. We were at Billy's house yesterday, and he's got one of these gravel driveways. And we were standing on his front porch, and you can hear when somebody comes up. And like he said, ain't nobody sneaking up on me. You can hear him. And I told him, I said, Billy, somebody's coming. He's like, yeah, I know, I hear him. Somebody's coming. I was like, man, I'd love to have a driveway like that where I could just sit on my front porch. I wonder who's coming to see me. Hello, somebody's come. Y'all ain't never got excited like that. You'd be sitting at the house, somebody's coming to see me. Hey, hey, somebody's coming to see me. I don't know who it is. Well, I might not want to know who it is, but somebody's coming to see me. You ever get excited about that? You're on the edge of your seat. Somebody's coming. Come on, y'all can be hermits if you want to. I like it when people come to see me. I tell my wife all the time, I wish more people come to see me, because I like people when people come to see me, because generally we're going to eat. Hey, we finna eat something. Glory to God. Or we going to go somewhere and get something to eat. Everyone, hey, listen, let me tell you something. There's one thing that we all have common in this house. You know what it is? We all got to eat. Whether you know it or not, we all got to eat. People say, oh, I want to eat just a little bit. Give me more. Give me more. My wife said, you're eating too much. I know, but I'm hungry. Like I tell her all the time, it takes a little more to fill this battleship than it does that little cruiser over there, you know. I got to have more. I got to have more. Got to have more of you. But when people come, it brings a sound. And we hear a sound of abundance of rain. We've heard it for weeks now. Us ministers have heard it for weeks now. That sound of abundance of rain. We can hear it coming. You ever be walking out in the woods and you can hear the rain coming from a distance? And you hear it and you start getting excited and you think, oh my. First thing you think is we finna get wet. Then you're like, you know what? We ain't fixing to go nowhere in a hurry. We might as well get wet. It's been a hot day and oh, it's been hot outside. And I can't wait for that rain to come. And that rain starts and it gets a little bit closer and closer and closer. And as the rain comes, if you're like me, you go, yes, hallelujah. Just let it. I can remember as a kid, Mama let us, if it wasn't thundering outside, she let us go outside and play in the rain. Play in the mud puddles. Oh, yeah. That was fun, man. And we could like sling each other around the grass and just, we didn't even have no toys, just swing each other on the grass. Man, we're having fun. Now, it's raining. You know, all your friends would come over. It's raining. Yeah. You know, that was a South Florida thing. 30 minutes later, it's sunshine again. It's hot, you know. But we get into the rain, and us ministers have heard the sound of that spiritual rain coming, and we get excited, and we say, God, do it. God, do it. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. And we say, more, 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 more. And eventually what we do, I went into Sam's the other day, and they got these cool things out there. I showed them to my wife. She told me about them. They got these cool things. It's a 55-gallon drum. And you can put it under your downspout, and you can hook up the water into it that comes from the heavens. And you can go out, and you can water your garden or water whatever you want to without using that old nasty water. You can use the good water. And I thought, man, God, let me get some 55-gallon drums. Let me get a big old tanker, God. Just let me, when it starts raining, God, let me just have it all, Lord. Just let it soak me up. Let it saturate me. Let it change me, God, where I can start spreading it out to other people. Amen? Where, oh, hallelujah. Some people's going to be hiding from the rain. That's all right. That rain's still going to get to them. It's still going to get to them because God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Hallelujah. And He's going to reach down and He's going to heal people. Hallelujah. The thing about rain, it does a lot of different things. That spiritual rain, it sets people free. It heals people. It delivers people. It makes a way where there seems to be no way. And all of a sudden we start seeing boom, 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 boom. And like Brother Eddie said, well, isn't that a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. That's the divine hand of God going right there, letting that rain come and just wash over us. Hallelujah. He said, get up. Get up. Eat and drink. Because there's a sound of abundance of rain. And he went down. Now, I've studied this. The Bible says he went down, and we think that it's in a prayer posture that he was in. But it wasn't, because when Elijah came down, he hit his knees. He hit his knees and he put his face between his knees. And I can imagine he was weeping, saying, God, let it rain. God, we've been in a famine for a long time. God, we've been in this thing for a long time. I've been in this thing for a long time, God. And it's been dry. And it's been hot. And we're weary, Lord. But I remember you told me that if I'll go and I'll do what you told me to do, and I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before, and I'm really going to sink my feet in. The thing I've realized, when you sink your feet in with God, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters. You ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. I'm sinking my feet in, God, and I'm ready for the rain. And Elijah said, hey, servant, why don't you go look toward the sea and tell me what you see? He didn't say you're going to be looking for a cloud the size of a man's hand. No. He said, go and tell me what you're going to see. The servant came back the first time and said, I don't see nothing. Now, a lot of people would say, it's not God's will. And we walk off. Come on, somebody. We'd say, oh, I guess it just wasn't God's will. The second time, the servant went. And I'm sure the servant, after the second or third time, is thinking, man, what in the world? It's a long way down here to this water. It ain't like it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. What is this prophet thinking? What is he doing? And people start thinking you're crazy. And people start, I'm going to talk about this person. Yeah, they went to the altar again. I'm going to talk about them. How about praying for them? How about, oh, hallelujah. How about instead of talking about them, pray with them. Hallelujah. Uplift and strengthen them. That's what we're meant to do as children of God. Get the knife out of their back and start loving them. He goes back the seventh time and he comes back. Now this whole time the prophet Elijah is praying. The Bible says he's praying. I'm sure he's diligent. You ever had those prayers where you're just, God, if you don't make a way, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, you're the only way. Now listen, I tell people all the time, when they'll call me, they'll text me, they'll say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Positive vibes your way. That's cool. How about somebody pray for me? How about somebody? That's all good and great. But somebody get a hold of the man who can do something about it. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Oh, when you have that direct connection with God. Oh, hallelujah. You can move mountains. You can say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it don't have a choice. It's got to go. Hallelujah. But he said, go back again seven times. Wasn't it amazing he said seven times? Wasn't it the very seven times that Joshua went around the city of Jericho? He went around the city of Jericho. You see, people in their lives, they build up walls. And sometimes it's in a famine time when they build up walls. They build up walls with their spouse. They build up walls with their neighbors. But some of them even build up walls with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Somebody texts me, I'm not responding. Somebody calls me, I'm not answering. I just want to be left alone. God, just let them leave me alone. I build up a wall. There's my wall. And God says, I'm fixing to smash those walls down flat. Boom. What happened to Jericho? Jericho was this massive city. This is a new part of my message. Was this massive city. The children of Israel walked around there six times. Six times. They didn't say a word. They didn't say nothing. They just minded their own business. Six times. The seventh time, everything that was built up with inside them, all that praise, the banners right there says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If I'm silent, the rocks will cry out. I'm not going to let no rock, oh, hallelujah, don't let no rocks cry out in my place. I'm not going to be silent. God's done way too much for me, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, God's done way too much for you, hallelujah. Come on, let somebody get real. The seventh time they walk around, he said, now, what you're going to do is y'all going to play like you ain't never played before. Now, let me tell you something. I found out real quick, because I sing at work a lot. People, you know, not the good but the bad you know. And, you know, I try to, you know, I got soul, you know, I got Jesus. I don't got it. I don't got it. But I got Jesus in my heart. And sometimes I can't help it. And I can't help. Sometimes a song just comes and I can't help it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to praise him even though everybody around me ain't praising him. You see, it doesn't take me getting into an atmosphere of praise to praise my God. I'm going to praise him anyway. I'm going to praise him because he's good. I'm going to praise him in the bad times. I'm going to praise him in the good times. I'm going to praise him in the valley. I'm going to praise him on the mountaintop because he's still going to send the rain. Because I still hear that rain coming. Hallelujah. And it's coming into our life, and it's going to change us and transform us if we'll accept the rain. Put your umbrellas away. Put your spiritual umbrellas away. My wife's got this big old umbrella. Man, that thing is huge. It's like 40-something inches around. It's huge, and it keeps the sun off of you. Hallelujah. Keeps the sun off of me. I got to keep this tan going on. You know, I used to have me a nice little Florida tan. Now I moved to Georgia. I ain't got it no more. But it's all right. But that umbrella. People walking in, they'll be up under their umbrella, and they'll move their feet just right. And if they get to where there's a puddle, oh, I step over it. Oh, I don't want to get that on me. I don't want to get that on. Look around tonight. There's people that want to get it on them. That want to get it on them. Hallelujah. I just don't want to step in the puddle. I want to be like a kid again. I want to jump right in the middle of that Holy Ghost puddle. Boom! And let it get all over me, God. Let it saturate me, Lord. Let it change me, Lord. Let it revive me. Let it refresh me. Let it renew me. Let it strengthen me. Hallelujah. Fill me up, Lord. Let me drink from my saucer. Hallelujah. Stir it. Stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. Listen, time is too short to sit there like a knot on a log and act like God ain't done nothing for you. Hallelujah. You should praise Him on Monday morning just like you praise Him on Sunday morning. Hey, God is good. Hey, God is great. Let us thank Him for this day. Hallelujah. This day is a gift. That's why they call it the presence. Amen. Hallelujah. We hear the rain coming. The rain's coming. He said, Elijah said, get up. Get up. Eat and drink, for there's a sound. And then after the seventh time, he comes back. The servant said, I see a little cloud. I said, now, my wife, you can take her to the woods, and she can spot a deer like that. She's good. Now, if I'm going deer hunting, which I ain't never have time to do, I'm taking her to the woods with me, because she's good. I mean, you can walk. She goes, there's a deer right there. There's one right there. Look at that. I'm like, where? Right there. But now get me in Florida in them swamps, and I can spot a gator like that. I know what to look. There's a gator right there. Where? It's right there. You know? But she knows, and she can pick it out. You see, a lot of people, they don't know what they're looking for. When they look, and the prophet's servant, he looked and he saw a cloud, and he said, it's a little cloud. Now, why'd he put that adjective in there? Because that was the devil saying, it's just a little cloud. But it's about the size of a man's hand. And it kind of looks like a man's hand, really, if you want to get technical about it. You ever been looking at clouds and you're like, that looks like a horse. That's a dinosaur right there. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, wait. I see an alligator. Oh, yeah, I see an alligator too. You know, y'all ain't never played that game. That's back before we had cell phones. We were doing all that, you know. We're like, yeah, look at that, you know. He said, I see a little cloud. The next part of that verse says, and suddenly the heavens, oh, come on, somebody, they were black. They were all black. Hallelujah. There's something that still excites me when I see the heavens black. I think, ooh-wee, there is a storm coming. Hallelujah. Batten down the hatches and hold on, because we fixing to be in for a ride. Hallelujah. And what I love about it is, you know, the wind begins to come. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 2. Come on, somebody. The wind begins to come. And it starts blowing. And it starts moving things and shaking things and moving things around. And it starts shifting things. What I love about God is He makes things to shift. When I hear shift out, because I think God is shifting things around, not only in my favor, but He's lining things up. And when God's shifting things around, and when the rain comes in, everything begins to line up like it's supposed to. You see, when the military, they go, and my pastor friend in Tennessee, he was big on, he was a Marine. And he used to tell me how they set the guns. He said, what you would do, he said, you would say 20 clicks here, 5 clicks here, 2 clicks up. He said, then you hit fire. He said, he didn't just point the gun. He said, they had big old guns. He said, you didn't just point the gun somewhere and just, you had to sight it in. That's what God's doing. God's preparing everything for us. John chapter 14 and verse number 1 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare, in verse 5, a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come again. Hallelujah. And receive you unto myself. That where I am, you may be also. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That rain begins to come. We start seeing things on the news we've never seen before. How many of you have seen things on the news you've never seen before this week? And you think, man, that's prophetic. Let me enlighten you on something. Not one more thing has to happen for the angel to step out on that cloud, but God to say, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Hallelujah. Sometimes I promise you I go into work and I have my window down and I think, was that the trumpet I heard? Is today going to be the day I see the eastern sky part? Hallelujah. Could today, man, my mind just goes racing away. Is today going to be the day that I see? And is today going to be the day that the dead in Christ are going to rise and I'm going to be forever with my Savior? Today could be the day. Hallelujah. And I said, God, send the rain. Send the rain on this dry land. Send the rain on us, Lord. God, we've sinned. God, we've done wrong. But God, send the rain. Send the rain. Because there was still somebody praying. Hallelujah. There was still one person that had dug into the horns of the altar. And they hit their knees. And they put their face between their knees, as the Bible said. And they said, God, make a way where there seemed to be no way. God, save my loved one. God, move. God, set them free. God, deliver them. God, do it, because only you can do it. Only you can do it. This is the same prophet that saw many, 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 many miracles. Many miracles. And he said, God, we need rain. We need rain. We need rain. Now watch this. And he said to his servant in verse 43, go up now, look toward the sea. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now let me tell you something. This is the part that really gets me. I tell y'all this all the time. I'm not a runner. People like to run for fun. I don't. I don't run for fun. I'll get in my car and I'll drive somewhere because God gave me an automotive vehicle with gasoline. And I thank Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, and all the people that came up with a combustion engine that I can get in my car, crank it, and go down the road. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And all y'all said, thank you, Jesus, too. Because if we was on 2-foot patrol, we'd all be in sad shape. Amen. We might be a little closer to God, but we'd all be in sad shape. Amen. Amen or oh me. Hey, listen, if we had to saddle up our horses, we'd probably all stay home. That horse, I am not fighting him today, Lord. Not today. Can you imagine back in the day? Lord, get the devil out of this horse. We got to go to church. You know, it's kind of like them Sunday mornings, and the cart, the horse is going, slap that anointing oil on that horse. We're going to church today. Hallelujah. We're going to church. But watch the last verse right here. Verse number 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I pray, God, not for riches. God, not for glory. But God, I pray the hand of the Lord upon my life. Because if I have the hand of the Lord, oh, hallelujah. If I have the hand of the Lord on my life, I know that God is directing me. He's guiding me. He's taking me where He wants me to go. He's making me to lie down, Psalm 23, in green pastures. He's restoring my soul. Oh, hallelujah. The hand of the Lord is a mighty thing. Can you imagine the very hand that formed the heavens, that formed this earth, that formed you and me? The hand of the Lord, the Bible says, was on Elijah. Now, I want to watch what happens right here to Elijah. It's a little known miracle, and a lot of people look over it. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He had already told Ahab, Ahab, get in your chariot. Prepare your chariot. Get in your chariot and go to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord, the Bible says in verse 46, was on Elijah. He got up and he ran. Woo! Hallelujah! He just took off and he just started running. Now, there's one person in my life. It's my oldest boy. If you ever watch him take off to run, man, he puts everything into it. It doesn't matter if he's running from here to there. He knows. Now, in football, we call it wheels. He's got him a set of wheels on him. That dude can go, and he knows he can go. And when he puts his mind to it, he just, boom, he's gone. Elijah was the same way. He was sold out for God. He said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And so the hand of the Lord was applied to his life. And the hand of the Lord was on him. And he couldn't hold still no more. Hallelujah. The Bible, the prophet said it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't hold still anymore. And he got up and he just took off running. And he started running and running. Y'all remember that forest? Scum. One day I just started running and didn't stop. He just started running and running and running. And if you'll read and really analyze that, he actually beat the horses to Jezreel. He beat them because the hand of the Lord was on him. And he said, I'm going. You tell me God can't do awesome, mighty, miraculous things? Yes, he can. Yes, he still does. He can raise people up off a deathbed. Hallelujah. He can heal of cancer. He can set free. He can deliver. He can put life in what was dead. Hallelujah. We look back and we read stories about Lazarus and about how he was dead. A lot of people miss the miracle that happened there. Mary and Martha, they knew Jesus was going to come. They just knew it. They'd prayed and prayed and prayed. He's dead. The tradition was back then, after 3 days, the spirit left your body and you couldn't call the spirit back. Day four. Sunrise of day four, all hope was gone. All hope was gone. They came to meet Jesus, and Jesus deliberately did that. They came to meet Jesus, and they said, Jesus, he's dead. I said, no, he's not. Take me to where he's sleeping. Oh, hallelujah. The last time I checked, when somebody was sleeping, they wasn't dead. Take me to where he's sleeping. They took him to the place. Some Bible scholars say that if Jesus would have yelled out, come forth, every person in the grave would have had to, oh, hallelujah, shandara makandaraha, would have had to come up out of that grave. But he called him by name. He called him by name. He called me my name. He said, Chris, come forth. And I could not come forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. What I love about my child's name, when you take him to the doctor, and when you take him, when you introduce him, people will say, wow, that's a lively name. Thank God he's got a witness. He's got a witness when he says, hi, my name's Lazarus. Hallelujah. He wasn't supposed to be, you see, but God healed my wife. God healed her. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little story y'all might not know. A little story. We got married. Let me tell you something. I love that lady. We have been through some times. And let me tell you, let me just go off on a sidetrack right here. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, cherish your wives. Husbands, treat them like the queen they are. And I'm not just saying that because she's in here. I would say that anyway. That woman, she knows my feet have been hurting. She don't feel good sometimes. And she'll get down there and she'll rub some kind of lotion or something on them. Hallelujah. The next day, I feel like a new man. And she knows. She's constantly checking on me. Are you okay? Are you good? That's a soulmate right there. That when a man finds a wife, the Bible says he finds a good thing. Hallelujah. He finds a good thing. Now, is she perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But you know what? Love covers a multitude of all sins. And when I see her through eyes of love, I see her like God sees her. Husbands, love your wife. Go home. When you get home from work, yeah, you might have had a hard day. Throw a big hug on her. You ain't got to kiss her. Maybe on the cheek, but you ain't got to kiss her. That's all what you won't do. Give her a big old hug. Give her a bear hug. And just don't say a word. Just let them feel that love. Because that's what God wants us to do. That's the establishment of the church right there. The husband and the wife. The family unit. That's what comes together. Hallelujah. I don't even know how I got off on that. But love your wives. Cherish them. You know, you're going to have times where they aggravate you and they get under your skin. But look over that and say, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. And I'm not fixing to go nowhere. I'm staying right here. You're stuck with me. Now, it's been 19, we celebrated 19 years last Monday. Thank God for 19 years. There's people, I told people at my work, I said, I've been married for 19 years. Wow. That doesn't seem like nothing. It seems like a small bucket in time when you're with the right person. Search out, young people, if you're listening to me, search out. Find the right person. Don't just meet anybody and say, oh, go, 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 because that ain't the one. Hello. My son used to tell me, he said, Dad, when he was little, he said, Dad, I was on the playground and I fell down and I hurt my knee. So what happened, son? Them girls was chasing me. I said, son, I don't know what that's like. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Sorry. But husbands, love your wives. Cherish them. Take them. Hold them. Spend time with them. Listen, you ain't gotta go out and spend a whole bunch of money on something fancy. Go for a car ride. Go for a picnic. Share your thoughts. Share your hopes. Share your dreams. That's your best friend. That's the person when you lay down to sleep at night, you can rest beside. You shouldn't, listen, let me tell you something. You shouldn't lay down beside somebody that you don't feel comfortable next to. Amen? If that's your soulmate and you feel comfortable, you say, you know what? That's my girl. That's my, and I know she got my back. No matter what, she's got my back. And I got hers. And she's going to take care of me and I'm going to take care of her. Because that's just the way it is. Now, I'm not talking about being sappy and I'm talking about taking care of them. Take care of them. The older I get, the more I cherish that. Take care of them. Do what you can do for them because they appreciate that. I tell her all the time, I said, honey, I can't buy you this and that and that and that and that. She said, that's not what I want. I want you. I tell her all the time, you know, I proposed to her in a bank vault. Believe it or not, I did. She was a head teller of a bank. I tell her all the time, I said, you know, you were the best treasure in that bank. And I walked out with it. But husbands, love your wives. If you think God can't do it, let Him do it. God let Elijah run for 30 miles. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. There ain't no way this old boy's running for 30 miles. If you're expecting me to walk 30 miles, you're going to have to give me some time. 30 miles. I mean, one foot in front of the other, we're going to have some water. We're going to have something to eat. We're going to have something to eat. I mean, we have to take some breaks, you know, where we're going to have our tents and all this stuff. But he ran for 30 miles because he was submissive to the Lord. What could God do in us if we let Him have everything? If we were totally sold out? If we really prepared our chariot? You know, a farmer goes out and they plant. And there's no promise of a harvest. There's no promise. They plant the seeds into the ground and there's no promise. There's a little, I say a farm garden. It's huge. It's about 1-2 acres maybe. We're on the way to the house. And when the guy first planted it, it was dry. And I thought, man, unless he gets some rain, everything, all of his, he would be out there, man, it would be hot. And he'd be, you know, hoeing them weeds and stuff. And I think, man, he's going to pass out. He's not in the middle of the day. You know, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. I'm like, dude, that's not how you do it, bro. You got to early in the morning, late at night, you know, all that stuff. That's what we did in Florida. You didn't work in the middle of the day because you pass out, just so you know. I would watch the rain begin to come. And I would tell Laz as we would go by there, not daily, but every time we would go by there, I would say, Laz, look how green that crop has got because of that rain that God let. Now, this man didn't bring out the sprinklers. To my knowledge, there's no way of him watering anything that he had out there. He was completely trusting God. He was, oh, hallelujah. He was completely entrusting God to send the rain. I don't know that man. I don't know him. I might never know him. But you know what? He trusted God. And God spoke to me in that little garden right there and said, if He can trust me to make this garden grow, to send the rain, you can trust me when you hear the sound of the rain, that it's coming to you. Hallelujah. Stay where you're at. Put your feet in the sand. Put a stop in the ground and say, God, I'm holding on and I'm not going anywhere. And let the rain come, God. Let it overtake me. And let me, as they were singing, open the floodgates of heaven. Open the floodgate. Now, I've been at the Tennessee River when it was in flood stage. And man, it's a scary sight when they start opening them floodgates up. But they have to do that because they let the water out. And when the water goes out, everything that's in its path, glory to God, everything that's in its path, it overtakes. And it carries it with it. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing in its path that it's not going to take. It takes, you know, if a vehicle happens to get out there, it's going to take it. I said, God, that's what I want. Let me get in those floodwaters, God, and just take full control. Wherever you go, I go. Hallelujah. You know, it's like Moses said. Moses told the Lord, what did he tell him? He told him, he said, Lord, if thou go not with us, send us not up hence. God, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. But if you're going to go, I want to go right behind you. I want to be with you. I want you to have your hand on my life, God. Put your hand right down on my head and just guide me in the every step I take. Oh, hallelujah. Every time I take a step and I'm walking a long distance, I think about what God told Abraham. Everything that's under your foot, you claim because it's yours. God, it's mine. God, it's mine. God, it's mine. God, it's mine. God, put your hand on my head and put your hand under my feet. And everything that's under my feet, God, let it stay under my feet. Hallelujah. Everything that I walk on, God, let it stay under my feet. Hallelujah. That's for somebody right there. You're going through some trouble. You're going through some trials. And you're going through some struggles. It's all right. You're a Christian. That's what's supposed to happen. But let me tell you something. Get them under your feet. And keep them under your feet. Because that's where they belong. And that's where they're going to stay. Hallelujah. Keep that snake by the head. The Bible says, and I'm closing. The Bible said, whenever Jesus died on the cross, that he bruised the head of the serpent. Why did he bruise the head of the serpent? Because that was what controlled him. He bruised the head of the serpent. I got news for you. The devil has read the end of the book like you have. He knows his ending. And he's going to try and take everybody he can with him. He's a sneaky snake. He's a devourer. That's what he does. That's what he's going to do. He is trying to take you out. Don't play around with him. Get under the rein. Let that rain take you. Don't patty cake around. Don't play games. Don't play hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Listen, get in. Get in the water. Hallelujah. Get in the water. I was watching a video of my brother here. Him and his kids, they were jumping in that cold water. And I remember jumping in them spring. Man, I take your breath. And the first thing you do when you jump in, you want it to completely take over from your head to your toes. But it takes your breath. And they always tell you when you jump in, be careful, because the first thing your body will do is go, and you'll take in a whole bunch of water, and you'll go, you know. A lot of people are scared because they're afraid what's going to happen. God, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And God's saying, just jump on in the water. Why don't you just jump on in the water? God doesn't make mistakes, and he's not about to make one now. God wants to use some people in this house, but he wants you to be submissive. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your talent. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. Hallelujah. I figured that out a long time ago when I said, God, I can't sing. God, I can't do this. And God, I can't do that. And God said, I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to submit to me. Oh, hallelujah. Submit to me, and I'll take it from there. I'll do what I need to do in you. You just submit to me. Some people need to come down. I want the musicians to come down, and I want us to sing that song. Let it rain. Let it rain. If we could get some singers to come up too. Let it rain. I want it to rain in this house. If you've been walking through a dry desert area, it doesn't matter if you've been there 5 years, 5 minutes, or 50 years. It doesn't matter. If you say, Lord, I'm ready for it to rain down on me. I'm ready. God, I'm ready. I want you to open the floodgates of heaven. I want you to stand up, and I want you to raise both hands and say, God, I want you to rain down on my life. I want you to rain down on my marriage. I want you to rain down on my family. God, I can't do it, but you can. God, I can't do it, but you can. God, I can't do it, but you can. There's something sweet in that surrender. When you're raising your hands, you're saying, God, I surrender. God, I surrender all. I surrender to you, Lord. I lay it at your feet. I surrender. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let that be your heart's cry tonight. These altars are open. If you need prayer, if you need a healing, if you need a touch in your body, these altars are open. But if you just want it to rain down, you just let it rain down right where you're at. You just open the floodgates of heaven. God, let it rain down in me. Let it rain down in my heart. Let it rain down in my soul. Let it rain down in my life. Hallelujah.
Oh, it rains of peace, change forever so. It's pouring down over its bed.